Wieland Presley Funeral Home and Crematory, a proud supporter of WQPT, has been serving Quad City families since 1889. They now have live stream capabilities for viewing your loved one's funeral or memorial service.
At IHM VCU, we've always been here for you. You are and always will be our top priority. We care about your financial and physical health, and we are here. IHM VCU is a proud supporter of WQPT.
We're at the River Center for Festival of Trees, but why are we really here? Plus, raising money, funding the arts, one group's commitment in the cities. Welcome to the River Center in downtown Davenport and the closing days of Festival of Trees. You know, the sights around me are absolutely beautiful, but there's a lot more to it than just the decorations. The River Center is decked out once again with thousands of lights and hundreds of decorations on two floors of the building. What I'm saying is that there's an awful lot to take in, but you're also giving when you're here. You're giving to Quad City Arts. Quad City Arts says it has reached almost 25,000 kids in the Visiting Artists Series. It's awarded $90,000 in the Arts Dollars Program, funding more than 20 art projects. And it has featured more than 260 artists in its various gallery shows. And we're joined by the Executive Director and CEO of Quad City Arts, Kevin Maynard. Festival of Trees going on still. Huge impact for Quad City Arts.
Yes. Festival of Trees, obviously, with the amount of people that come through the floor, it's a good time to showcase the arts in our community. But it also, obviously, everything that you buy at festival, when you bid on trees, buy ornaments, table trimmings, all of those things go to support Quad City Arts, which supports the arts into our community.
Well, and we were talking about earlier is that the bidding process is different this year.
Yes.
Easier than ever is that it's more online.
Yes, so you can get on your phone, your tablet, your computer, be able to monitor your bid, or if you haven't had a chance to come down yet to see everything, you can get on there to look and bid and then come see it in person later.
The thing that you must love about public art is that it's the way people react to it. Whether it's at the airport or if it's in Rock Island at the gallery or anywhere, Festival of Trees, you can watch people and you see their eyes light up. That has to have a special meaning for you who loves art, but also loves presenting art.
Yeah, it is. It's a little bit of magic when you get to watch a family like walk through and kind of look at their designs. And it's even more so when it's the kids being able to see and just seeing something that they recognize from their popular culture, whether it's a Harry Potter room here or Rudolph or the Grinch, or when they recognize that and they get to see that, like their faces light up, their eyes light up, and it's from that moment that you kind of have them right there.
And we talk about these great displays that you see all around us, but there's also it's two levels of artwork. And there's also like student contributions. I mean, it's a big deal for the entire community.
Yeah. I mean, there is, obviously it gives an opportunity for people who, arguably may not view themselves as artists and may just kind of be like, oh, I'm just, good at designing things and putting things together. But that is an art form. I mean, that is them flexing that muscle. And then we also have the high school art exhibit here. So it gives an opportunity to highlight our local schools and see, what they're teaching in the schools and see just the incredible talent that we do have here.
I'm hoping there's going to be a day that I don't ask you this question, and I hope it's very soon, is that COVID has had such a huge impact on the arts, whether it's performing arts or all the other versions of it. Mm-hmm. Tell me what it's been like over the last 18 months. Let's start in two different ways. First off, for a person who is actively involved in getting the arts to the community.
That's been hard. I mean, because we spent so much time telling people like you have to experience this in person because it's never the same. And then basically overnight we were telling people like, please get online, look at our online content, like help engage with us so we can engage with you. And through that we learned a lot. We learned things that we're going to continue to do in the future and be able to present things online. We also still realize and reinforce the fact that it wasn't the same. I mean, it was, for some it was a good stopgap to be able to still experience the art and be able to put art into people's homes. But it was a challenge. You know, we spent so much time bringing people together and wanting to interact with them and share, you know, really incredible art forms, whether that's visual arts or performing arts. So it was hard. And then, you know, then that kind of spirals into the financial aspects of it. So with an event like this, like Festival of Trees, it has a significant economic impact. And not just for Quad City Arts. It has a significant economic impact for the city of Davenport as well as the entire Quad Cities. This, you know, small little 10-day event in downtown Davenport is an economic impact of about $1.3 million. And that's not the money that's being brought in here. It's money that's being spent in restaurants when the people go out to eat, or some of the folks that are staying overnight, or just buying gas, or visiting all the other shops. So, I mean, it wasn't just us that felt that, it was the entire community.
And also the artists,
yes.
I mean, who oftentimes want to be out in the public. And I wanted to point out that until December 3rd,
correct,
sadly ending very soon, you have on display art on lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw some of the illustrations that were done. There are some really powerful personal pieces of artwork linked to the pandemic.
Yeah, that exhibit is really incredible. It has artwork from over 67 artists in our community, and I think just shy of 90 pieces on display there. But you are right. I mean, a lot of those, they were drawing and painting, you know, their feelings, their emotions,
right,
and using it to pass time and kind of reflect on what this time was like for them. Because artists arguably were hit the hardest. I mean, there was a lot of relief that came for a lot of businesses, but the artist relief didn't come until much later. And they rely on, you know, selling work and the gig economy. So it was a challenging time for them.
And you almost see it here at Festival of Trees, which is supposed to be a happy time. It's supposed to, you know, show a lot of joy. But you could tell that there was a lot of pent-up energy and that people really wanted to make this a big deal.
Yeah, you know, that's been pretty incredible. I mean, especially spent some time walking around, yeah, Festival, and you get to see some really great displays. And just, I mean, honestly, I think that this has, like, some of the most creativity on display here this year. I mean, it's just absolutely incredible what people can come up with.
And of course, as we've said over and over again, is Festival of Trees helps fund all, mm-hmm, the programs and projects at Quad City Arts. And one of them that I know that it was able to survive through the pandemic is the, mm-hmm, visiting artist.
Yes.
Not necessarily visiting in the past. That was kind of interesting, visiting remotely, virtually. But now, are you able to get more into the schools?
Yes, it is. It's been really great. I mean, obviously, we're still facing some challenges. Schools aren't ready to put you know, a big assembly or all of the kids into a gym at one time. But schools are being really clever with this. You know, so a lot of schools will go that they'll have, you know, a quarter or half of their students in the gym or the auditorium, and then they'll be doing a remote broadcast to the other classrooms. And then they'll kind of switch in the spring, and then, you know, and then the other half gets to experience that in person. So they're using it in unique ways. But I can tell you that the interaction that we've had based on in-person events is completely different than the interaction that we got through virtual things, you know, whether that was educational resources or virtual visits. So it's been incredible to see that happen again. And I know the artists are just as excited, because it is a powerful experience for them as well.
There are organizations that did so much more on social media, and virtually. They reached out and they found audiences far from the Quad Cities.
Yes.
They found audiences that they could reach. Have you as well? And is there something to be learned from what you had to do that you now want to do?
Yeah. We did a lot of online content. We also increased our web presence and increased our website. So now we're selling artwork online more regularly. We're doing some programming online where people can, you know, interact with artists or see performances. And what we've learned from that is, you know, is that the high school art show is a great example of it. So we're able to put those artworks on display. The past 2 years, we haven't had an opportunity to be able to do the big award ceremony in the gallery. So instead, we've created a video to recognize these students and all of their hard work. And what we found out is that more people are viewing that video than can fit inside our gallery. So they're able to also share it with their friends and family who aren't local. The other thing we're seeing is that we're selling artwork all across the United States. It's not just, you know, being bought locally. You know, we're shipping to Seattle and Denver and Colorado, like just all over the place. And it's been really great to be able to share our artists' work with the rest of the country.
Our thanks to Kevin Maynard, who is the president and CEO of Quad City Arts. Well, it's more than just a tree here. Take a look. It is an avalanche of sugar plums created by first-time designer Jill Wilson and Lindsay Zapata. When you get here, make sure you take a look at these sugar plum trees. It is spectacular here at the River Center. And still to come, there is one Festival of Trees benefactor who is instrumental in funding several arts groups and a whole lot of projects in the Quad Cities. What's the reason for that commitment? We'll talk about that. But first, Laura Adams wants to put you in the holiday spirit and give you some ideas for you and your family when you go out and about.
This is Out and About for November 25th through December 2nd. Quad City tradition continues with Festival of Trees at the River Center closing November 28th. Or visit the QCCA Expo and shop the 31st annual Quad City Christmas Arts and Crafts Fair through the 28th. Shop local for the holidays at the Maker's Market at Iron and Grain in East Moline. Or travel to Bishop Hill for Yule Marknad, a Christmas market running November 26th through 28th. The German American Heritage Center reveals the Midwest's largest Advent calendar starting December 1st, while Winter Nights, Winter Lights continue through January 2nd at the Quad City Botanical Center. And it's time for the 5th Annual Small Business Saturday Craft and Vendor Show in LeClaire on the 27th from 10 to 4. Back in Black Friday with Electric Shock, an AC/DC tribute at the QC Rock Academy taking place November 26th at the Redstone Room. The Yo-Yos perform at Jenny's Boxcar in East Moline on the 27th at 8, while Odd Man Out are live at Rhythm City Casino the 27th at 7:30. On stage, Quad City Music Guild presents the musical Irving Berlin's Holiday Inn December 1st through the 4th, and the musical Winter Wonderland continues to spread holiday cheer at Circa 21. Or catch A Christmas Carol on the air on stage at the Black Box Theater in downtown Moline December 2nd through 12th. For more information, visit WQPT.org.
Thank you, Laura. Well, it's now time to take a walk into the Gingerbread Village. This thing is at the entryway of the Grand Hall of the River Center, and you can't miss it. It is filled with delicious creations, small homes, a homemade version of the Botanical Center, and even, yeah, take a look, King Kong dominating a Gingerbread Empire State Building. We got it all here, a great place to visit. And when you get here, it smells pretty darn good as well. Well, the holidays are really a great time to revisit old friends, and that includes here at WQPT. The Westbrook Singers decided to retire a few years ago, but the songs from the first family of Quad City Gospel music live on. They are timeless, in fact, especially their arrangement of the holiday classics. So here's the Westbrook Singers with Do You Hear What I Hear?
Seven night wind to the little tail as big as a kite, with a tail as big as a kite. Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy,
Do you hear what I hear?
Ringing through the sky, shepherd boy.
See what I see.
shivers in the cold, let us bring him silver and gold. Let us bring him silver and gold. Let us bring him silver and gold.
Do you hear what I hear?
The Savior.
The Westbrook Singers with Do You Hear What I Hear? Well, we love the trees here, but we also love some of the beautiful displays that are among the hearth and home creations. This one is called I'll Be Home for Christmas. It's a salute to the military, just decked out just beautifully by Denise Durbin. Festival of Trees is, among so many other things, a major fundraiser for Quad City Arts. It is the reason why Festival was created 35 years ago, back in 1986. And for the past several years, the Regional Development Authority, which allocates a share of the revenue from gambling receipts from the Rhythm City Casino, has granted money to community groups such as this, Festival of Trees. And that includes a lot of other art projects as well. So we wanted to talk to Matt Mendenhall with RDA. Why is the RDA a major sponsor for Festival of Trees?
Well, I went back and looked at our history with that, and actually we've funded this event for the last almost 26 years, since 1995. And I think it's an easy one for us because it's regional, it reaches a lot of people, it's volunteer driven, it showcases local talent, and it helps us to create a vibrant community. So it ticks all the boxes for us in that way.
Well, I think a lot of people don't necessarily know what the Regional Development Authority is or what it does. So the key is it's basically gambling receipts that are being used to make sure that the community is a better place.
Yeah, and Iowa actually is the only state that does it this way. So each casino in Iowa has to have a license through a nonprofit organization like RDA. And the contract between the two, the operator of the casino and the nonprofit, spells out what those revenue sharing agreements will be. So in Iowa, those dollars are earmarked towards local leadership. So we have a local board that knows the community and is able to distribute those dollars in ways that we feel like make the biggest difference.
And you do two grant, disbursements?
We have a spring cycle and a fall cycle. So the due dates for the grant applications are typically March 30th and September 30th. And then the grant cycle goes through that process.
And it's not an inconsequential amount of money. We're talking a little more than $2 million that you gave in the fall grant cycle alone.
Yeah, and this year is a little bit different. I mean, the pandemic has kind of confused everything, but in some fashion, our contract with the casino changed last July in 2020, and so we got a larger share of those revenues, and that was built into the contract that was formed, you know, several years ago. So we have both a better contract, and then also the casino's just doing really well. And you know, people will say, well, even during the pandemic, and yes, even during the pandemic, I think they do the gaming, but they also do entertainment, the restaurants. They do a lot of actually additional charitable work themselves. So it's just a great business overall.
So of this $2 million that was just given out, it went to about 60 different organizations. Mm-hmm. How do you pick the organizations?
Well, there's an application, and each application then is scored by the board members. And so we take all those scores, rank them out, and then we do the best we can to distribute the money in the fairest way we can.
What I thought was interesting is that you do have specific areas that you do want to complement, and one of them is arts and culture. Mm-hmm. Why is that important?
Well, if you look at a well-rounded community, you'll have economic development. You know, and RDA actually started because economic development needed a shot in the arm, you know, back in the 80s. And so
RDA... Well, let's be honest, that was the big point of bringing the casino boats here, the very first one
to begin with, right,
was to revitalize the downtowns,
yep,
and to get some spirit of
community. So a lot of things were really economic development driven. But then if you look at a well-rounded community, like I said, you know, arts and culture, education and human services, you know, that it takes all of those things to make a good community.
We've been talking about, there's a lot of organizations that do fundraising or foundations, and they are looking for specific areas to help the community. A lot of times it is education, or it's the children, or it's healthcare. Mm-hmm. RDA is also like that. I mean, you really do allocate percentages to make sure that the money is spread out appropriately.
Yes, we do, and I think funders overall are really looking at the community in a different way because of the pandemic. You know, I'm sure that at some point we'll get back to a more balanced approach of funding arts and culture, because I think, you know, I've heard from several places that arts and culture funding is more hard to come by. So we recognize that, but at the same time, when you have, you know, food and shelter needs that are right there in your face, it's important to recognize and respond to that.
Because about 48%, I think, I got to get this right, 48% for human services, affordable housing, things like that, because
mm-hmm.
that seems to be... The creation of a social safety net has never been more important right now because of this pandemic, where people were looking for help who may not have been looking before. Those are agencies you're also trying to help out.
Yeah, and it's if you think about it, it's two things. One is it's the services they provide, you know, and those service needs are up, of course. But on the other hand, you know, we needed to look at the agencies themselves and their own sustainability, because if the revenues didn't flow for them well enough and we lose some of those safety net services, that would be bad. So I think there's looking at, you know, the common current need, but also looking at wanting to maintain a healthy, vibrant human services sector as well.
RDA also, I mean, the money that you give, you also want to fund programs that have a future, so to speak. I mean, whether it's a group that's trying to expand, or it's a group that's kind of changing what it wants to do, you're looking at that as well. It's an investment in the future.
It really is, and it's, in a sense, sometimes I talk to the people that I work with, you know, that we really look at this as a venture fund in some fashion, really looking at innovation, you know, things to make the community better. You know, we know that there are some standard things. Well, like Festival of Trees is something that, you know, is an important tradition. Like we talked about, but being able to continue looking at new things as well, you know, the RDA funding, many communities don't have anything like this, so it gives us the advantage of being able to look at new things.
And our thanks to Matt Mendenhall, who is the CEO and president of the Regional Development Authority. Hey, let's get one more view of another hearth and home display. This is a setting with chilled champagne and a mix of gold and silver. Isn't this beautiful? It is called Making Spirits Bright. It's created by Penny Branner, Laura Poling, Liz English, and Brenda Schwartz, one of the hearth and home displays that you can see at Festival of Trees. So we hope you make it out to Festival before the doors do close on Sunday. And of course, we want to thank our hosts, everyone involved with Festival of Trees, for making us so welcome here at the River Center. And we do hope that you have a great holiday. Everyone from WQPT is giving best wishes to your family. On the air, on the radio, on the web, on your mobile device, and streaming on your computer, thanks once again for taking some time to join us as we talk about the issues on the cities.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Glory
to the Lord in the highest.
Glory
to our newborn King. He's the Lord in the highest.
Glory.
He's King of Kings.
Whelan Presley Funeral Home and Crematory, a proud supporter of WQPT, has been serving Quad City families since 1889. They now have live stream capabilities for viewing your loved one's funeral or memorial service.
At IHMVCU, we've always been here for you. You are and always will be our top priority. We care about your financial and physical health, and we are here. IHMVCU is a proud supporter of WQPT.